así ve, así ve, así ve.
Thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. It's so great to be on here in New York City. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. So this show is for anyone who feels that they have a book inside of them. The New York Times actually says that 81% of Americans believe that they have a book stuck inside of them somewhere. Do you have a story? Do you have something you want to teach? Do you have a legacy that you'd like to carry on? All of those things are part of the ingredients of writing the book. What most people get stuck on is the book writing process. People think it's daunting. They don't know what to do. They don't understand it. And it pretty much scares about 81% of the people away. I wrote a book this past year called Becoming Aware, and it was one of the most rewarding and challenging experiences I've done because I didn't have book whisperer Tom Bird in my back pocket. Tom Bird is my guest, and he teaches people a surefire way to get your book written and published, and he has done this with over 97% success rate. Welcome to the show, Tom. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So you have really done a 97% success rate for people who attend the workshops?
Yes, 97% of the people who attend a workshop finish their books in the weekend.
In a weekend?
Over the last 3 years, that 3% that don't finish in a weekend finish their books at home shortly afterwards.
That's phenomenal, but I have to find out, first of all, how. How do you teach people to get out of their own way and understand this process and then quiet the mind chatter, all of those things? I'm sure those are the three separate days, right?
Well, no, actually, we do a lot of pre-preparation work for the retreat, and it all begins with the authors finding us. The authors that we deal with are, in one level or another, desperate to get their books out, probably just like you were last summer. You finally wrote your book because you had to, because it was adversely affecting your life not to.
Right.
And so when we work with people that are slightly or greatly desperate, they have a tendency to be great listeners and great doers because they just want to get out of their own way and facilitate the way for the book to come through them. And ideally what we do, Lisa, is we help the author connect directly with the book through a spiritual association with the book and birth the book on its own. So we assume that these authors that come to us have books stuck inside them that they need to get out. I think that's really a key important ingredient, that they have a book stuck inside them that they need to get out. So we really don't teach them to write a book. We teach them to connect with the book and release the book that's already inside them, the book that's probably on another spiritual realm someplace else from here.
So
that's what we do.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. So you pull it out of the future and bring it back into now. Can you give me an example of somebody who's come to you and said they've tried and tried and tried and now they have a deadline and they have to create their story?
Well, that would be just about everyone that comes to our retreat.
Yeah. Does somebody stand out?
My approach is so different from the accepted norm of writing that we are oftentimes the last resort for people to take before writing their books. And the reason they haven't been able to write their books up to this period of time is because they were taught that writing was an intellectual art form only. And partially it is an intellectual art form, but book writing is a holistic art form. It takes into consideration the spiritual aspect of the individual, the emotional aspect, the intellectual, and the physical. When you harness all four of those aspects into one and can connect them with the spiritual aspects of the book just comes pouring through. So I had one lady by the name of Maxine Taylor who'd been wanting to write a book for, 27, 28 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, she finally showed up at a retreat and connected with me through the years and finally shows up at a retreat, wrote a book in a day and a half. And this was in Atlanta in September. And by the following November 10th, she was the number one Amazon bestseller. So that's how quickly it can happen.
Does it matter what type of story it is? Do people come in with health, sports? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. The process works for anyone who wants to write a book and needs to write a book. It doesn't matter what type of book it is that they want to write. And to be honest with you, 35% of the people that come to my retreats have no friggin' idea what it is they want to write. They have no idea.
Oh, really?
They just know that there's something stuck inside them that they need to get out. And they actually end up being my easiest students to work with because they don't come in with preconceived notions that need to be disputed during the process of the writing of their books.
Ah, now, so, for example, someone listening right now has a great childhood story that they lived through and they want to tell other people. Maybe, say, it's a bullying story that they survived and they got back and created justice, something like that. So I'm making this up. So someone comes to you and says, I have this experience I lived through. Is it more the experience that needs to come out and get birthed, or do you try to fit it into a certain type of program?
It's more the author's voice. Again, I assume when I work with an author, that like the other 80,000 authors I've worked with the last 30 years, that they're coming to me because they have a book stuck inside them and the system which they've learned to write a book under has not worked. Mm. And so what I do is I give them a system that will work, and we don't actually know what type of book the author will write when they sit down and write the book. And to be honest with you, we don't care. Because books are already written on the other side of life. That's our premise. And that book is already written on the other side of life and is designed to be born because it's time to be born onto the planet, which sounds kind of outrageous. But this is what I experience on a monthly basis with the retreats that I do. So if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I got to write about a childhood tragedy that deals with bullying, I'll listen to that, but I'll just listen more to their book and listen to what the book is telling me to do to get them connected with the book. Now, the book is always going to be different than the author anticipates. Always. Sometimes it's a 1 degree difference from what they think. Sometimes it's a 180 degree difference from what they think. But it's always different because the book is a very large document file, huge document file. The left brain through which they think and they think about their book is very small memory. So it can only hold a very small bit of that document file, which we call a book. And so it's guessing what the other aspects of the document file is about. So it doesn't really know what the book is about. It just knows what a very small fragment of it is about. So when the book is actually released, the book takes on a personality of its own.
True.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So someone could go in thinking they're going to write an autobiography, yet they wind up writing a novel about a kid who was bullied. It eventually forms into the book that it was meant to be. And you just help people get out of their own way enough to allow that process to unfold, right?
Exactly. And the author actually turns into the author they were meant to be, not the author they think they want to be.
Oh, interesting. So now this all can happen in a weekend? In how many days? 3-4 days?
3.5 days. We start our retreats on a Thursday night. We end them on a Sunday afternoon. And 95% of the people that finish their books are done with their books by 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
And
I'm sure we've all had the occasion. I know you did last summer when you wrote your book. You had the occasion where the words just spilled out of you, just like fire, like water out of a fire hose.
Yes.
That symptom is indicative of the author within state. And our job is to get them into that author within state, keep them in that author within state through the entire process of the book so the book can download itself through that author. And the average writing speed of an author at one of our retreats is 2,500 words per hour. The average length of an American author's first time author's book is 35,000 words. So you can see where it'll take somewhere between 14 and 16 hours to complete that book, which is pretty much what we see at the retreats. Again, we start on a Thursday night. We'll have about 15% of the authors finish their books by 6 o'clock Friday.
Oh, my
goodness. 95% finish by 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Do you need to come with an outline or ideas?
No.
Bullet points?
No. The less – you're very logical.
I am.
The less you know, the better. We don't want the left brain designing a structure for the right brain book.
So if an
author needs an outline for security purposes because they need to know where they're going, we instruct them to create a right brain outline that's indicative of what the book is going to be as opposed to what the left brain wants it to be. See, the left brain is like that loving parent that loves you with tough love and wants you to fit in society. Books are not designed to fit in society. They're designed to lead society. So they're not going to be the accountants, the nurses, the doctors, the lawyers of the world. They're going to be the artists, the Rembrandts, the Hemingways. So they're going to lead our consciousness forward. So they always color outside the lines of the left brain. So we can't have the left brain structure where the right brain book is going, because if we do, the book will not facilitate its purpose as a book, as a piece of art, as a catalyst.
As
a flag bearer.
It can't be too creative. It can't be overly creative. That's the whole point, is to get into that creativity space, right?
I would use the term, instead of creativity, release. Because ideally what our authors are doing is they're not creating a book. They're releasing a book from the other side that's already been created. So they go into a state of surrender, where they surrender to the book as opposed to try to create a book that doesn't exist. They surrender to the book that does exist. Does that all make sense?
It does. It makes sense. And it's an experience that I believe that you will make a lot more sense if you go through this, which you've had a lot of bestsellers come out of your retreats. I mean, this isn't just write it.
Yeah, in the last 2 years, we've had 47 number one bestsellers come out of the retreats.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So you not only help people write the book and birth it, but then you help them also understand how to get it published, how to market it, and how to really get the book into the world.
Exactly. You know, that's all part of the process. I mean, one thing we don't want to do is extend the frustration of an author any further. And we don't want to have authors that have books that don't find places on bookshelves. So a part of our program is designed to help them publish their books, promote the books, become the speaking icons that they need to become to promote the books. It's all part of the program. So we birth authors, and we design programs for authors to get their books where they need to go, not only just out of them, but on the shelves.
How did you, off the shelf. Tom, how did you realize that this was your calling, that this was something that you had a gift in doing?
You know, I don't know if I have a gift as much as I made a promise. At the age of 26, I was a publicist for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a big league baseball team, and I had a really good job, but I didn't like it because the job was not doing what I wanted to do, which was write books. I'd known since the age of four that I was meant to write books, and that was going to be my purpose in life.
Hmm.
And but I tried everything conventionally, Lisa, to try to birth the author that I was inside in a tangible way, and nothing was working. So one night I came home from a baseball game, and I just had a mini nervous breakdown, you know, a real breaking point. And I just cried for like 20 minutes uncontrollably and sobbed. And after I cried for a while, I realized I was crying because of the frustration I felt and shame that I felt as a result of not living my purpose on the planet. But the truth was I was trying to become an author, and nothing was working.
Oh.
So I made a prayer to God, and I promised God that if he or she showed me the way to show me a system and show me the way to become the author I felt I already was, I'd spend the rest of my life sharing it with other people. And two nights later, I woke up in the middle of the night, half in a dream state, half in a waking state, and I saw exactly the steps I needed to take to do that. And I put that into play the next day, and 4 weeks later, sold my first book, Triple My Seller, and left my job.
Wow.
And I started teaching shortly afterwards because I made a promise. I really had no desire to teach.
What types of...
I made a promise out of desperation.
How did you know that those steps were what was needed to help write? I mean, what were the... How did that get shown to you?
I didn't know it. I just tried everything I could up to that point. Nothing was working. So out of desperation, I put into play what I saw in my mind that night, and it worked. And what I quickly discovered was that I had 2 degrees when I was in college, one in English writing, one in psychology. And I really found out that I had discovered what I needed to know to be a writer through psychology, not writing. Because psychology taught me about the right-left brain theory and taught me how to connect with a greater goodness and a greater artistic expression through my right brain. And that was the key to everything. And as time went on, my students that I've worked with, my authors I've worked with, have taught me so much. They've confirmed for me that the reason they wanted to write was because they had books stuck inside them. And my job was to help them connect with that book and stay in connection with that book so they could release it into tangible form. And they also really showed me that writing is a spiritual art form. It's a spiritual art form because of the fact that our books are housed on the other side of life. And to get to them, we have to connect with them spiritually, not intellectually. And so everything I've learned in the last 30 years has come as a result of either what my authors have confirmed for me that I already knew or taught me that I didn't know. And be quite honest, I feel that everyone has a book stuck inside them that they need to get out.
Well, and, yes.
One of the major byproducts of this process is spiritual evolution and peace and happiness and joy. You know, the average student that comes to one of my retreats has been wanting to write a book for 22 years on average. And you would assume that when they completed their books out of one of these retreats, they'd be elated. They'd be jumping around, dancing, singing, yelling. That's not the case. When I interview them post-retreat, I'll say, well, how did you feel when you finished your book? And almost every person says something like this. They say, well, you know, I feel that I came here. I completed what I came here to do, not to retreat, to earth. And I feel at peace. And the look in their eyes is like a softly rippling river. It's just beautiful. They are such great peace because they've connected not only with their true spiritual voice, but their true spiritual message. And they've reconnected through communion with God, whatever you want to call he, she, or it. And that's the biggest byproduct of a book. I mean, it's great to sell books. It's great to be a best-selling author. That's all wonderful. But for them personally, the thing that most matters is the peace they derive from the experience of having written the book through this method.
It is such a fulfilling accomplishment to have a book in print. It's amazing. And these days you can do so many different types of ways. You can self-publish on Amazon.com. You can do print on demand on Amazon. Basically, you can have your own book and have it published through all of the wonderful technology that we have these days. So there's really not a lot of excuses that can get in your way of if you have a story and you know that it's burning inside of you and you know this because you think about it all the time and you are restless and you have it on your bucket list and it keeps going on to-do list, year after year after year. And this process that Tom Bird has created takes the excuses out of all of that. And I wanted to bring this to you for the fund drive here at WBAI because this is it's a very, very exclusive, very special retreat. It's a four-day weekend retreat. And the retreat takes place physically in Sedona, Arizona. However, not too long ago, Tom realized that people that attended the retreat via remote access had just as good of a result as those that attended the retreat physically, which really is a testament for the program. It shows that the program can really... And so that takes the excuses out of everything. And here's one more excuse I'm going to take away for you, is for the fund drive here at WBAI, we have a limit of 10 spots that are available for this weekend retreat. Now, this particular one that we're talking about, this writing retreat, is August 24th through 27th, and it is a $250 donation to the station. Now, it's normally a $1,000 course to be able to do this. And if you went onto Tom Bird's website, you would see that. But because he's donated 10 spots to WBAI, we are passing that as a kind of a savings along to you, but really more so of a desire to really have you listening right now. I'm talking to you, who's thinking, gosh, how did she know? Because I've been in your shoes. That I have a book inside of me and it's rolling over on my bucket list. And wow, you've taken away the limits with thinking it has to take a year and providing the space for me to be able to, you know, just block it off and write this book. And you discounted the price. Well, that's pretty good. So now what you need to do is you need to call the station, which is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. That's the radio station here at WBAI. Just call us and be ready to donate $250. And there are only 10 of these to give away during this hour. And these will definitely all go throughout this hour. So now's a chance. Just you can think about it for a few minutes, but then you're going to have to call sometime before the hour is up. It's a four-day weekend retreat. Now, I suggest, if you're doing this remotely, to let your family or friends or whoever know that you are not to be bothered through these 4 days and you're taking a four-day course, as if you're there. And you can fly there if you want, but just take the time for yourself because you owe it to yourself. Do you suggest that to people that are doing the remote workshop to sequester themselves?
Absolutely. You know, Lisa, I feel so strongly about you and what you're doing and your mission that I would like to increase the number of donations that I've made from 10 to 40.
What? 40? Oh, my God, that's awesome. That is awesome.
So I just feel really, you gave me too much time to ponder here while you were doing your pitch there.
No, that's huge.
And I just kept getting the number 40 in my mind.
Aww.
So let's just do 40, okay?
Tom, thank you so much. That is huge for WBAI. You have no idea. We're so in need of the funds, and to raise money for the station is, you know, it's an icon in New York, and we've been around for so long and really need the funds. So you have just opened it up. Thank you. Okay, so $250 donation to the station. That is amazing. And let us know, what's the difference if somebody is taking this remotely? They can get just as much. Tell me about how you discovered that they really can get a lot out of the program doing it remotely.
Well, I had a colleague of mine, a gentleman that works for me, that suggested we try doing a remote version of the retreat for years. Finally, after about 2 years, I said, listen, if I try this and it doesn't work, will you leave me alone? He said, yes, but I know that the energy that's created in the retreat space can permeate walls, can permeate distance, can travel throughout the planet. I said, yeah, whatever. So we tried it, and on son of a gun, the results are just as good on a remote basis as they were live.
Wow.
So we perfected the technology about 2 years ago to extend ourselves to a remote basis retreat as well, too. So the people that attend on a remote basis can expect the same results as the people that will be there live.
Wow, and that's just phenomenal. It speaks for the program. So just kind of run it down on day 1 through 4, kind of a brief outline of what happens.
Sure. Well, first, the author that will be attending these retreats needs to be aware of the fact that there's about 10 to 12 hours of pre-retreat preparation that they'll need to go through. As soon as they sign up, we send them an itinerary.
Okay.
And there's certain exercises they need to do before the retreat. Then the retreat begins on 4:30 Arizona time on a Thursday, runs till 9:30 with an appropriate dinner break. They'll actually begin writing their books by 4:45 Arizona time on the first day.
Wow.
And then on
what?
Friday and Saturday, the retreat runs from 7:30 in the morning till 6:30 in the evening Arizona time. And on Sunday, we meet from 11 to 2 Arizona time. And by the time the retreat concludes on Saturday night, almost everyone has their books done. And as soon as they have their books done, we move them into revision classes. So we can teach them not only how to write a book at a retreat, but how to revise a book. And they actually begin the revision there at the retreat. So when they go home, they're not thinking about revision. They're already into it.
Yes, that took up most of my time, was revising and revising and revising. I got stuck in that loop of always thinking that it's not done, and it was done. It was just, one can really get stuck in that trap. So I like that you had a deadline for that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And so then do you teach people at the end of that maybe how to get it published or printed, or do you recommend any of these types of online printing on demand programs?
That's all part of the pre-retreat work. One of the biggest concerns new authors have, the second biggest concern they have, is that, well, what if I get my book written? How do I get it published? So we address that before the retreat so we can remove any hesitancies, any resistance they may have before the retreat. So we address that before the retreat in regards to talking about publishing. We'll have certain lectures on publishing on Saturday of the retreat as well, too, just in case they didn't catch up on everything they needed to know or needed to learn before the retreat.
So when you call and you donate $250 to the station, and now this particular one that we're talking about, this writing retreat, you get the retreat pass for the Write a Bestseller in a Weekend online retreat. So here's the number to call again, 516-620-3602. This is for anyone. I don't care if you have a full-time job or if you're a full-time parent or if you're a full-time student, you can create 4 days to write your book. How incredibly cool would that be to emerge from a 4-day weekend and a month later show up at work and say, hey, I wrote a book. It's such a cool thing to do, not only for bragging rights, but it's just to have that. It moves the energy so much inside of you, you start to find new purposes, new paths. You can be on people's radio shows. You can podcast about it. You can really start to find and divine your message even more as you're going through the process of creating interviews around it or pitching it to people and so forth. I mean, it's just the beginning, really, is writing the book. And the journey after that begins bringing your word into the world. And it's such a beautiful thing to do. I've inspired my daughter, and we're going to do this. And she's already written half of a book, and she got this really great kind of teen angst novel, but she got stuck in the details of it. And when I told her, hey, during the summer, you could have your book finished and you could go to school next year and have on your resume as you're applying to colleges, author. That is an amazing thing. And she, you know, to inspire a young child or a teenager, which she is, to write a book, by the way, incredibly valuable for self-esteem. Every teenager or child, adult, has a story in them somewhere. And I just know this because I'm fresh off of the process. So please give us a call. The number is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And you know if this is calling to you. But it's a $250 donation to the station, which is so incredibly valuable for you. I mean, for us to be able to stay, you know, on the air. Pacifica Radio has been here for so long. We really do need it, and we appreciate your funds because that's how we exist. There's no underwriting or commercials. We get to be a contribution to this planet because of your contribution to the station. So that's enormous. And then it's a $995 value. So you get this just for now. Tom has opened this up to 40 very, very fortunate people. Jump on this now. It's a $250 donation. You get the whole weekend. Now, this particular one that we're talking about, this writing retreat, is August 24th through 27. Don't blow this off, people. I want you to get this, and I want you to do it. And I want you to email me, and I want you to tell me that you did it. And I want you to send me your book. I'll interview you. Well, anyway, you have a wonderful story inside of you, and I want you to be able to share it with the world. And that's the whole point here. So now, have you ever had people come to you, Tom, that have said, I wrote a book and I'm not happy with it, and they wanted to rewrite it in your workshops?
12% of the people that come to our retreats have written books that they're not happy with, and they either want to rewrite it or do a different book. So, yes, that's pretty much the norm too.
Interesting, very interesting. Is there What are the major obstacles that people come in with? Let's just demystify some of those right now.
The major obstacles are this. Number one, there's unworthiness issues. They think, who would want to read what I have to say, or what do I have to say, or maybe not. I'm not educated enough. I'm not worldly enough. I'm not old enough. So there's undeservability issues, number one. Number two, fears about getting published. They're concerned that if they did write a book, they were one of the 97% that wrote a book in a weekend, what the hell will they do with it? And those are the two major things that we focus on leading into the retreat. And that's what allows us to keep the retreat down to 3.5 days, because we don't deal with the personal issues during the important retreat time when we should be writing and revising. We deal with that pre-retreat. And through the pre-retreat exercises, once an author taps into that author within that's in all of us, and their voice just starts barreling through them, the words start pouring through them, they realize there is a book there. And so whether they think they're worthy or not, someone thinks they're worthy. And then through the publishing lecture that I provide them with before the retreat, they understand that the publishing arena has completely changed from where it was 10 years, completely changed. Thank God. And it's possible to get a book out from a first-time author within a few months and become a best-selling author within a few months after that. So it reorganizes their mind to absorb the potentialities that do exist for them now, as opposed to the roadblocks that existed 10 years ago.
What's different now? Just share a little bit of what's different in the publishing industry.
Conventional publishing is basically crashed and burned, which has been a good thing for us. And as depressing as it is, the CCMA bookstores closed. There's 1,800 bookstores closed in the last 8 years in this country. That actually benefited authors, because before the Internet age, we had to move our books through bookstores, and those bookstores are controlled by conventional book publishers. So they had a monopoly over how our art was controlled. With the crashing and burning of conventional bookstores and publishers, we are free to be our own artistic publishers. And through the digital age, we can publish any way that we choose to and get our books out literally overnight to our audiences and be the captains of our own ship, which is great. So not no longer are we giving up 95% of our profit to someone who doesn't care about our book as much as we do. We get to keep all our profits. So in today's world, Lisa, to make $1 million as an author, if you self-publish and go the road of new age, the new age of publishing, you're looking at having to sell about 85,000 to 90,000 books to make $1 million. However, if you go through a conventional book publisher, publish the same book, make $1 million, you'd have to sell over 1.2 million copies of the book because you're giving away your profit to the the conventional book publishers. So there's a way around this, and over 10,000 authors in this country are making seven figures a year self-publishing their books. And that is the wave of not only the future but of the present of publishing right now. And it's a great day. I never thought I'd be able to see the change in the market that I've seen happened the last 10 years. I'm so thankful it's happened. I'm so thankful for myself, for everyone who wants to write a book, because now they have the opportunity to be the authors they really want to be and to control their own art form in such a way that they receive the majority of the profits as opposed to giving away the lion's share of the profits to someone who basically took advantage of them for a lot of years.
That's true. That is very true. You do give away more than half of your... I mean, a lot more than half of your proceeds. Now, do you have a publishing company, or do you help people print their books or publish their books at all?
We have a book fulfillment company, which means we help authors start their own publishing companies. That way they can keep all the profits, and they pay us for our services to provide editorial services, formatting services, website services. And we have package deals. So when an author is accepted into one of our programs, they pay one flat rate, and they get everything they need under that flat rate price. And then they get to keep the profit from their books from that point forward.
Got it. Oh, that's a great way of doing it. No, that's terrific. That's a terrific way of doing it. And then do you teach people how to market themselves?
Absolutely. That's all part of our program. We're educational by design. So not only do we provide services, but we provide education to build independence on the end of authors so they know what they're doing from that point forward. They can make their own decisions, and they become the independent authors they deserve to be. So we're educational by design. So a lot of people don't want to know what we do. We force it down, and we force information down their throat anyway, because we feel that it's justifiable. We just feel that a need for them to understand exactly what we're doing, so they're never imprisoned by our knowledge, but they're freed up by their knowledge of what is actually happening.
Well, you have some people that have testimonials here. This one person, author of Flatter Your Figure, she sold 800,000 copies. 800,000.
Well, that's incorrect. She sold 1.2 million copies.
Oh my goodness!
She came in with a kind of outrageous idea. You know, the ladies are always trying to fit into certain dress sizes. She said, hey, it's not about fitting into a certain dress size. It's about accepting the dress size you're in and looking good no matter what. And that's where her book, Flatter Your Figure, came from, which is completely different than what we were taught to believe about how we should look. She sold 1.2 million copies so far.
Wow. That is amazing. What about this other person who is an editor for New York Times bestselling authors? So this person is a person who helps you with editing the books?
Paul McCarthy.
Yes.
Paul McCarthy is the most well thought of and most renowned editor in the world, the literary industry. Paul's an old friend of mine. I've known him 30 years, and he's responsible for nine number one New York Times bestselling authors, including Nelson DeMille and Clive Cussler. And Paul is very, very honest, and he says he believes that I'm the top writing instructor in the world because he's worked with a good portion of my students. He's amazed by their work.
Now, I didn't.
Paul saw it as a difficult time believing these people are writing books on a weekend, but and we're trying to dislodge his disapproval of that.
I didn't even know that there was a writing instructor, there was such a thing as a writing instructor. That's different than a ghostwriter, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
What I do is I help people write their own books. I don't really think anyone should use a ghostwriter.
Tell me why.
Because if you use a ghost author, Lisa, that ghost author, no matter how good he or she was, would not be able to capture your true voice and intention. And that's more than anything else what the reader wants. They want to feel like Lisa's talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're sitting across the couch having a beer and chatting it up. That's what they want. And mm-hmm. the ghost author becomes a wall in between the author and the reader. And so the author never really is able to fully reach the reader.
Right. And they put it in their voice, really, because that's all they really do know. It's almost impossible to catch somebody else's voice unless you've known
Absolutely.
Them for decades and, you know, but you're related to them. But just to meet
Absolutely.
Somebody and to hear their voice and to try to capture that in a book, that's a talent. It's hard to find. And that will cost you $30,000 to $40,000, by the way.
Easy. I co-authored a few books early on in my career, and I made a lot more than $30,000
to $40,000. I'm sure. Right.
And I was really good at what I did, but I still wasn't able to exactly capture the voice of my co-authors on the page. I mean, I did a really great job. My publishers are really happy.
I'm sure you were good at it. Yeah, it's not a great recipe. So here's another reason is this is such a no-brainer. If you... We're just talking here about spending upwards of $30,000 to $50,000 for a ghostwriter. You could call now, donate to the station, $250, and have your book written. Where's the thought process in that you just call, just pick up the phone and call? If you know somebody who you've known has an amazing story and has a book inside them as well, have them go through the course with you. And again, you could go to Tom Bird's website and you could have this whole, you could get the whole course for $995, or you could call right now, 516-620-3602, and you can support WBAI and you can give a $250 donation to the station and you're in. That's it. I mean, what's it costing you not to do it? I know because I'm doing it and I'm doing it with my daughter, which is super, super cool. And I'm excited because I get to inspire her. And she's watched me go through this arduous process of the book writing process. And she's been, you know, just, you know, they watch everything you do. And now when I told her, hey, do you think you would want to go through this course with me and you could have a book by the end of the summer? Oh, she was all over it, super excited about it too. And there's so many benefits of something like this as well. You could start to blog about it. You could start to become a writer on, you know, putting this on your resume. If you are a closet writer or if you are a writer and you all of a sudden become an author of your own book and you try to get a job at one of these online blogging companies that are popping up all over the internet, it's a lot easier for you to do something like that. This is a great thing to add to your resume too. So I've given you so many reasons to do something like this because I believe in it and because I believe in people. I believe in human beings, and I know that we all have incredible stories in us. I've interviewed over 4,000 people on The Aware Show. Every single person I've interviewed had a story that they turned into their passion or their career that somehow contributed and gave back to people, and that's the formula for success. I've extrapolated out of these 4,000 interviews I've done. So it starts here. It starts now. And we've given you this great opportunity by donating to the station $250. And then the rest is up to you, folks. You get the you call us here, 516-620-3602. And then you get the program. You sign up for the program. And then you sequester yourself for 3.5 days. And you give yourself the time. Don't pull any more excuses, please. Give yourself the time and make it happen. You can do the program remotely, virtually, which is incredible. It's live, August 24th through 27. And so we have Let's see here. We've covered ghostwriters. What other things? What are the questions or obstacles do people come with, and how have you seen them overcome those obstacles?
What they feel, Lisa, is most of the people, I actually deal with writing refugees is what I call them. People who have tried and not found a home yet as an author and failed, sometimes miserably. And what their biggest concern is that there's something wrong with them. That's why they haven't been able to complete the book. There's something wrong with them. That's what their belief is. The real truth, though, is there's nothing wrong with the author. There's just something wrong with the system that they've been employing up to that point to become the author that they already are inside. And so once they try my system, they'll find that the system is designed to accommodate every aspect of their being and connect them spiritually with the book, and so they can connect directly with that book and commune directly with that book and release that book. So if you're having some concerns, listeners out there today, about, well, I don't know, I've tried and maybe I've failed, and I got a D in a term paper in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I was told I couldn't
write. I should look at the writing on the wall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I should look at the writing on the wall saying that I'm not an author, but yet I have a desire. If you have a desire, you're already an author. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the system that you've been employing. I know that was my case, and that's been the case with the 80,000 authors I've had the pleasure of working with. We birth thousands of books a year from people who feel that they're inadequate because they've tried on their own and haven't been able to succeed. The retreats I've created are the convenient bridge between them being the author that they are inside and them being the author they want to be on the outside by writing their books. We've done everything we can possibly do to make this inexpensive, convenient. You know, I mean,
now
it's only a weekend.
Yeah, it's only a weekend, right? But tell me also, what is the are there any particular stories that are stronger than others? Are they human interest stories or overcoming obstacles or tragedies? Or are they inspirational stories or sports? Or what do you see?
There was one time at a retreat, we don't have that many rules or regulations in a retreat, but we do ask that people turn their cell phones off at retreats for obvious reasons. And on one Sunday morning back in May in Las Vegas, on Mother's Day, actually, one of our writers, her cell phone went off. And she looked at it and looked at me, and I gave her a stern look, and she ran out of the room. And she came back a few minutes later after taking the call and said, I really want to apologize for what just transpired. But she was crying and she was talking to me. She said, but I've been estranged. My son's been estranged from me for 4.5 years. And I was just writing a story. My book is about reconnecting with him. And I was just completing the last few words of the book, and where I was apologizing to him on the last page of the book. And he called at the time I was writing those words.
Oh, my God. What a phenomenal story. Wow. This is why you say it's a spiritual experience.
Yes. And there was a doctor from Atlanta. Her name was Lauren. She was an emergency room doctor, and she would deal with a lot of death, a lot of near-death experiences. And as good of a physician as she was, she really felt called to be an author. So she wrote a book on near-death experiences, emergency room version of near-death experiences. And, you know, she was kind of stepping outside of her comfort zone to do it.
Right.
But yet, all of a sudden, in no time at all, she had speaking appearances all across the country shortly after the release of her book, because that was what she was meant to be doing, is speaking about near-death experiences from a physician's point of view as opposed to being a physician.
Wow. I would read that book. That's fascinating.
Yeah, we get stories like this all the time. It's amazing what happens when an author makes room for his or her book to come through his or her life. There's an awful lot of spirit, an awful lot of God, whatever you want to call he, she, or it, that comes through that book and changes the lives of those authors for the better. I just finished a retreat in Melbourne, Florida, a few weeks ago, and I hadn't taught a retreat for 3 months. I take the winter off. And so I taught the retreat in Melbourne, and just so many of the people, There's 47 people there. I would say 30 of the people came up to me at one point or another during the retreat and said, this retreat has changed my life.
I could see that. And I'm understanding from what you're talking about that this is a process. This is more than just putting words on a page, but this is a transformational experience.
It's a transformational experience that's meant to happen for every author. And that's why we're called to write books, not just to write the books, not just to get the message out, not just to become authors, but to reconnect with the spiritual essence of us on the other side of life that we forgot existed.
Wow. I would take the savings you're having from this course and I would just fly to Sedona and do this for the weekend, because that sounds like an amazing experience to be in the room as well. Do you notice any difference?
In Sedona?
Well, I mean, you have the people who are watching remotely. Are they really involved in the weekend as well?
Yeah.
They are.
It's just like they're sitting in a seat.
Oh, that's cool.
We're set up video-wise that it's almost like they're sitting in a seat. They get to see everything I do, everything I talk about. I speak to them individually through the internet.
Great.
Technology is fantastic, man. It's enabled us to reach a global affair.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a global affair while being locked down in one location. My next retreat in March, we have people from 17 different countries attending the retreat.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, do tell. Are there people that would never have this opportunity that are a part of your course? Never?
Absolutely.
Have
there's people from mm-hmm. Australia, China, Vietnam that don't have the $5,000 to fly round trip to Arizona and back. And the only sacrifice they have to make is the time zone change. A lot of these people will actually be beginning the retreat at like 3 in the morning and staying with us till 3 in the afternoon. But, you know, it's only a few days, and these are devoted, desperate people that have to get their books out. You know, it's been said that no one changes until the pain gets so great that you have to change. And the desperation of an author is the pain we need to motivate us to do something with our words.
Plus, you don't have to have anyone else censor you if you have a story that's so controversial that needs to be told, that you don't have a publisher saying, I don't want to take this risk, or you're going to upset the apple cart, and I won't do this. You get to really have your voice and tell the truth, and that is so liberating, and for other people as well.
So raw and so expressive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's
why people buy books, is because they want to be affected by the books. And the more editors that get in the way between the author and the reader, the more that is lost in the message.
Right. And if I love this quote from Oprah, the greatest way to self-healing is to help others. And if you have a story to tell that you want to bring the truth out about, and somebody else reads it, and you unlock their healing, that unlocks your healing. It only takes one person. And
do you know who Katie Davis is, Lisa?
What was that?
Do you know who Katie Davis is?
Katie Davis, no.
She was Oprah's top executive producer for 20 years.
Wow.
And Katie's taken my retreat, written her book.
Oh, great. About?
Oprah, about her experience at the Oprah Show.
Wow. That's
something
that
will be published next fall.
Oh my gosh, that's something that I would love to read. That's interesting.
It's an amazing book. It's an amazing transformation. Katie willingly gave up her life for 20 years to run the Oprah Show. And it wasn't Oprah's control that made her give up her life. Katie gave it up willingly. And she lost her life, you know, for 20 years. And so after 20 years at Oprah, she was born again and wanted to look back and talk to women about how you can live a more balanced lifestyle, how you may have a passion, but don't let it rob you of your other passions, enjoying your other passions. And Katie wrote her book at a retreat not too long ago, and she's coming to the retreat in March as well, too.
Do people speak in addition to you that have been through your process and with success stories? Do they come in and talk about that as well?
They do at the end of the retreat. You know, the retreat is pretty Spartan, to be honest with you.
Okay.
We sit down, shut up, and write.
That's great.
We only have 3.5 days together. So we have to write books during that period of time. So we include a lot of extra things at the end of the retreat, but nothing during the retreat, because that's when people are writing and revising their books.
That's beautiful. That's pure.
Pretty Spartan.
Okay, well, let me let the listeners know once again what we're up to here is this is a fundraiser here on this radio station for WBAI, and my guest is Tom Bird, and he has a program that's incredible. It's a four-day weekend retreat where 97% of the people who attend the retreat finish the writing of their books in a weekend. It's called Write a Bestseller in a Weekend, and it is August 24th through 27th. You just need to give us a call here at 516-620-3602. And for a $250 donation, there are a limited amount of these spaces to give away. There are 40. So I can tell you that at the end of this, or the couple of weeks into this fund drive, these will be gone. This will be unavailable any longer because on Tom's website, it's a $995 value. So if you want to go through this with a friend, the workshops are in Sedona, but they're available via remote access. And Tom said and has perfected it to feel like you are there. You're right there with the group. And in a weekend, August 24th through 27th, you will have your book written because he does it in a way that provides the space, the support, and the ability to basically just download your book and to write it. And you get all the other excuses out of the way. So here's the deal. I would just call right now. And if you've always wanted to write your story, or if you have a truth you want to get out, or if you want to share your experience with the world or your idea with the world, it doesn't matter if you have a full-time job or if you're a student or a parent or whatever it is that you do, you can write a book in a weekend. And that's amazing. 97% of the people that do that attend these weekends write them. And he said the other 5% or so, they finish it a couple of weeks later. So this is a no-brainer. It also supports this radio station, which we definitely appreciate. So here's the number to call again, 516-620-3602. And this is to support you. It supports our radio station, which we're deeply, deeply grateful for your funds and need them in order to stay alive because it's listener-sponsored radio, which means you sponsor the radio station. And you, what you put in, you get out. Well, this is amazing. And this is a program that I think more and more people need to know about, is how you can get your entire book written in a weekend. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on ghostwriters, on publicists, and so forth. You can do this yourself. And he teaches you not only how to write the book and have it written, completed, done in a weekend, but then he goes into publishing and speaking and so forth, and how to make your book something that can get out into the world. It's all a phenomenal gift to the planet. So thank you so much for inspiring so many people, Tom, with your program. This is a great idea. And you've been doing this for, you said, 30 years, right?
32 years, Lisa.
32 years. Well, it must be working. It must be working for you. So
I'm getting pretty good at it, I think. Yeah,
pretty good.
I'm finally getting good at it.
Well, congratulations. Thank you again for supporting this wonderful radio station. We really appreciate it and definitely need the people to call in right now and to support us. Thank you so much, Tom. You're definitely a gift.
You're welcome.
And if people want to read about the program, you can go to Tom's website, which is tombird.com, and find out more about the program. And if you want to read more, but don't hesitate. I would just call right now and give us a call. And the number again is 516-620-3602. This is Write a Bestseller in a Weekend program. Tom Bird, who is also known as the Book Whisperer, can help you really channel your book through you. And that's what you ultimately need to do, is lend your voice to your own book and not have it edited out of your way or try to fit into a certain segment of a population. Really write it for you, because that's when it's going to be successful. Then it can be your own true voice. And you can, again, give us a call, 516-620-3602. It's a $250 donation to the station, which is a huge value. It's limited, so call now. And it's a $995 course. It's a 3.5-day weekend retreat where you can virtually attend this remotely. It's a live one, so you have to attend it during the time frame, August 24th through 27th. So You have to do it when it's live. There's no replays of this available. People need to be accountable, and that helps when you do this in a group coherent field. So thank you again, Tom, and thank you so much for listening. Keep the phone lines ringing. 516-620-3602. And I also want to thank my producers of the show, Gina Salvati, executive producer of The Aware Show, and Joyce Walker, producer of The Aware Show, and also all the listeners. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so grateful that you tuned in during this hour. I deeply appreciate it, because if you weren't listening, the show wouldn't exist, or nor would the station. So again, thank you. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.
WBAI is an important, vital New York City institution.
New York State Assembly member Richard Gottfried speaking out on the station's dispute with Empire State Realty Trust over the lease which houses our transmitter.
Now, I don't expect the real estate folks that own the Empire State Building to think that they're in the business of making charitable contributions to WBAI. But I do expect them to be good citizens. You know, the New York metropolitan area is very good to the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building should give back a little to the metropolitan area. And helping to keep WBAI alive, I believe, is a reasonable piece of their corporate responsibility. So I say to the Empire State Building, you're part of New York. Do the right thing as New Yorkers.
And you can do the right thing with your pledge by entering 41444 on your smartphone and then text TRANSMIT 995. Again, that's 41444 and TRANSMIT 995. Many thanks.
Thank you.
When we look back under the Orange Man's years, we're going to see a lot of bad things, and people are going to be very disappointed.
Brooklyn Councilmember Jamani Williams.
One of the things that we're going to look back, and not the least of which, is what happened with the press under this time. Anytime you have fascism, anytime you have dictatorial leadership, the press is always attacked. And we've seen the press attacked over and over and over again. But we have to have places where the public can not only feel comfortable going, but feel that they have a part and a stake in the news that is put out. And there is none other bigger in New York City than WBAI.
Listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI. Become a member. Phone 516-620-3602 and make a pledge. Or go to your smartphone and enter 41444 and text WBAI.
Too public to fail! Too public to fail! Too public to fail! Let's keep up the fight. Thank you, everybody.
Hola, mis amigos. My name is Chico Alvarez, and I'm the host of New World Gallery, which airs every Saturday at 3 p.m. on this station, WBAI. WBAI is listener-supported, commercial-free resistance radio. We challenge the norms and defy them. Let's break down what that really means. It means that no clandestine corporate entity can tell me how to do my show. It means that you, the listener, and the diverse WBAI community have a voice. It is a voice which reverberates across the tri-state area. But in order to keep providing you with the independent news, unique conversation, and groundbreaking arts content you rely on, we need your help. Donate by visiting givetowbai.org or pledge right now from your smartphone by texting the letters WBAI to the numbers 41444. And thank you for your support.
If you've ever cut your grass and found a car, you might be a redneck.
Did you know that WBAI has a car donation program? Another way to support this station is by donating a vehicle, a car, a truck, RV, or even a boat. To donate a vehicle in support of WBAI, call us at 1-866-WBAI-CAR. That's 1-866-922-4227. WBAI's partners will take all of your information and take care of the details. You can also visit WBAI.org and click on the Ways to Donate banner for more information. Again, that number is 1-866-WBAI-CAR. And then you can leave the lawn ornaments to Foxworthy and friends.
Now listen up, sweetheart. If you board that plane without making a donation to WBAI, one of these days you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And for the rest of your life, WBAI is the only station with the guts and determination to seriously challenge this nightmare Trump. The rest of the media are cowards. It's the voice of the poor, oppressed, downtrodden, and the imprisoned. You know, Rick, this fella Trump is bad news. He's worse than Major Strasser. You act occasionally. Why don't you make a donation? I already did. At give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, wbai.org. Louie and I think this the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Thanks, D'Angelo Jones. Hello, everyone. I am Christine Blasdale, and welcome to another Fun Drive special. And I'm really excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about something that I think is really, really important. Because as we all look, everybody wants to look and feel the best that they can, right? It's extremely important, but it's also really extremely important to realize what we put on our bodies, what we put on our skin. And in today's world of toxic chemicals and the amount of all kinds of strange cancer-causing ingredients, I'm really happy to have my guest in today talking about the state of skincare and what we can do, because I don't know about you, but I'm going to fight this whole aging thing till, I'm fighting it. I'm going to try and look and feel as great as I can, but also make sure that I am putting on my body, on my skin, the healthiest stuff available. And I think we have found it in something very, very special for this Fun Drive. I want to welcome to the program, and my dear friend too, Andy Nilo. Andy Nilo is the founder and CEO of Alitura Naturals. And I'm so very happy to have you in studio, Andy. Wow, you have come so far and amazing with this skincare line. I just want to congratulate you right from the get-go.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me. I remember the first time we met, it was in the back of my head. I was like, maybe one day, I'll be a guest, but I'm so glad I'm here too. And this is a huge, huge passion of mine. And skincare is just, it's been a big part of my life ever since I had bad back acne, face acne, and it was all because of the products that I was using and included with diet. And then also, we have it rough with hormones and the different, disruptors that we have with endocrine and hormone levels with, going through and growing into our bodies.
Right.
And it just turns out that it was in combination with that. It was the ingredients that were in the products that I was using.
Did you have really bad acne when you were young?
I did.
Me too.
I did.
I didn't want to go to school.
It's
horrible.
It's crippling.
Your self-esteem just goes out the window and you don't want anybody to see you, especially when you're in your preteens and teen years. It's horrific.
So I always had the one thing that was, they call it Mountain Nilo, right? So like the one big zit that was, I didn't have it all over, but the one that
right.
you just, it was just, I mean,
it,
that's
all.
There
was a spotlight on it.
Oh,
it?
Yeah. And so on top of that, I had very bad back acne. And it turns out that was when I first started using creatine, which is a muscle developing supplement. So, but that was, it got so bad, Christine, that in college I wouldn't even turn around when I was putting my uniform on. I mean, mm-hmm. it was just, people
right.
could be the worst at that age. And I'm lucky that I'm able to smile about it now. But I remember it was crippling at the time, just not being able to, it was always on my mind. And, when you wake up, the first thing you do is maybe go to the restroom, look in the mirror. And that's not the best, that's a horrible way to start off your day is just by that sinking feeling in your stomach.
Oh, it was,
I
just, like I said, I remember telling my parents I was sick. I couldn't go to school because I was sick. And I wasn't sick. I just was so embarrassed and so devastated.
Right.
I just didn't want to be around people, and it was quite overwhelming. And it's not a thing of vanity or anything like that. It's just that at that age with the hormones and everything too. But then, yeah, the stuff that we put on, and then the stuff that they say is for skin, for acne, is some of the most, my goodness, toxic stuff you can put in your body via your skin. But let's talk a little bit more. Well, before we get into the whole subject of the skin, which I know is it's the largest organ on our bodies and how it absorbs every single thing we put near it. Also talk about, were you also in an accident or something that happened that was affected you as well?
Like I was. Appearance? Yeah. March 20th, 2011, I was hit by a westbound heading SUV and I was hit into the eastbound lane and run over by another SUV. Both cars pulled over. Luckily, they called 911 and an ambulance picked me up and transported me to Cedars-Sinai Hospital. I woke up in the ICU just unrecognizable. My chin punctured. It was a compound fracture, so I was basically a 90-degree angle where my chin separated and it punctured through the bottom of my mouth and broke seven ribs, collapsed lung. I had a catheter in. I woke up with a morphine drip, and I I was wondering where I was. I had two friends in the ICU room with me, and they quickly let me know that it was not a joke. You know, I mean, with morphine, you're a little giddy. And then they told me not to talk because my chin was in just pieces and particles where they wanted to piece back together eventually with titanium plating. But I would never wish that upon anybody, but I'm very lucky to be here. And so when I recovered from that, when we finally found somebody who could do the surgeon, the maxillofacial surgery, because the resident maxillofacial surgeon from Cedars-Sinai couldn't do it. I mean, he needed help with it. It was one of the worst compound fractures they've ever seen at Cedars-Sinai. And so we had to wait a little bit, and luckily my family found a specialist in the LA area, and we got it taken care of. Bless his heart, Joseph Brugeri. I mean, he and I definitely had some conversations. I mean, it's just rock bottom. I mean, very delicate, very vulnerable state. He walked me through the whole process with X-rays and just, you know, he's like, man, you're going to be back. And it, you know, I needed that at that time, but it was awesome. Just the great conversations we had. But yeah, coming home, once my family had to go back to work, it was me there in my apartment. And I didn't want to leave the house. I mean, you have people that look you in the eye, and my jaw was wired shut. My teeth were nubs. I had concrete at the top. I mean, that's bonding. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, you have people, once you start talking, they realize your jaw's wired shut. And so then it becomes really difficult. I was just very uncomfortable. So I went to whole new grocery stores. I waited to work out because I didn't want to go to the gym. So I would go down the Chandler bike path and I would just run back and forth. Well, I wouldn't run. I would walk back and forth until I was able to run and do push-ups. I was so banged up, though, from head to toe. This took a while just to get back on my feet. But I had a whole routine from the minute I woke up in the morning to when I went to bed, of just how I was going to recover quickest internally, externally, and just get back on my feet. I was in good shape when I got hit, luckily, because your body responds well to right. the injuries. But it was a long road to recovery, but I became obsessed with ingredients, superfood extracts, things like amino acids. I mean, because I couldn't get the proper nutrition in my body to recover quickest because I couldn't chew, my jaw was wired shut.
So you had to just sip your nutrition. Right?
Oh, yeah. We're talking deer placenta, bison, bison liver, egg yolks, spirulina, arginine. I mean, the first time I had it, I threw it right back up through the wires, which mm-hmm. if you can imagine, picture throwing up with your jaw wired shut.
No,
it was,
I don't want to do that.
No, but it was, I'm sorry. But it was, I stuck with it. And then on top of that, I created, just ingredient by ingredient, I started studying spa treatments and just pulling things that I thought would work that interested me. I had a CT scan and I was getting monthly x-rays to see how the bone was growing back. So I was in a fog from just the radiation from those x-rays, and I wanted to pull out the heavy metals. So clays have an amazing ability to do that.
And speaking of clays.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And so
this is where it was sort of the birthing of one of the I'm talking with Andy Nilo, and he is the CEO and founder of Alitura Naturals. And one of the items in this pack that we have, the Alitura Naturals face pack, which why I wanted to bring Andy on and to talk about the injuries that you had received. Was also because we wanted to talk about some of the products that are in this package for our listeners. So the clay mask,
right?
This is a huge jar of it this clay mask, and which it lasts a long time because you don't need all that much. But
right.
talk about how you formulated this, because this is not like any kind of normal skincare mask.
But, sure,
right?
It's
special stuff. I know because I use it now. Go ahead.
It really is. It's hard to compare it to another clay mask because there's so much in there. It's a combination of four mineral dense clays. We're talking iolite, calcium bentonite clay, rhodochrome, and kaolin. And then I started adding my own twist to it. Things like freshwater pearl powder, first 6-hour milking grass fed colostrum, which is loaded in IGF-1 growth factors. I got it from a nice family owned farm in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm obsessed with the sourcing of these ingredients. I'm telling you,
important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I ask a ton of questions, cold calls, cold emails. My sourcing, each of those, I went through at least 3 or 4 sources because it's just one of those things you get as far as like how it sits on the face. I mean, I would, I would rub a little water before I would, as far as like, you know, I would test it by itself on its own and then see if I felt any activity and see if like the particle size of, say, colostrum worked well with, say, the particle size of kelp, and then just one by one. I mean, the synergy had to be perfect. And then, I mean, there were so many things that I experimented with that didn't work. And but it's fine. I mean, I didn't ever expect to have a company. I was just trying to recover quickest. And this was my own little creative outlet. And the same people who saw me in the ICU, about 10 to 14 days later, I picked up a friend of mine from the airport. She was blown away. She hadn't seen me since the accident or since I was in the hospital. And she did an honest, awesome double take that I'll never forget. And so that was a cool little validation, just to, you know, how quickly I recovered. My abrasions, the swelling had gone down significantly.
But the abrasions of your skin?
The abrasions were gone. The scarring had gone down. The abrasions were gone.
And all you had done was, at that time, was just using the mask?
The mask, yes.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the abrasions were surface level, and we're talking 10 to 14 days, so that's understandable, but I recovered very quickly. I mean, naturally, I mean, maybe genetics had something to do with it. Maybe I swear the mask and just following up with things like beeswax, cacao butter, manuka honey, pearl powder, yeah, colostrum. I mean, aloe. I could go on and on.
You have so much healing ingredients in the mask.
And everything. I mean, so it's just, yeah, when you're making it for yourself, they say the mother of invention, they say necessity is the mother of invention. This is, yeah, I mean, just a perfect example of that. I mean, I was just trying to recover. I was just trying to get myself back on my feet and trying to feel better, just trying to get my zest back. It was taken away. It was a dark recovery period for me, but I got back just through something that made me feel good. You know, there's something about pulling out the impurities and toxins and things like that, that the clay mask does, that, and then the overall sense of well-being, and then pulling out those impurities, and then combined with, you know, the circulation of your capillaries right around the eye area, right around where a lot of that congestion and puffiness and,
yeah,
I just became addicted to the feeling. I started feeling great every time I did it. And so it was something I could look forward to. And at that time I needed that. And so I would follow that up with another, which is now the night cream, just melting down beeswax, cacao butter, clary sage, sea buckthorn, just all these extracts in a cast iron pan in my kitchen. I moved everything out of my bedroom into my living room in a small little single here. And it was my thing. It was a creative outlet that made me feel good. And then the total validation was Christina started telling her, she's like, can I try that? If it did that good for you, with, right, she doesn't have the big.